Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
And welcome back to NFL Kickoff Week, sponsored by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Every game, match, race, and competition, it is always on.
So funny, for years and years, Las Vegas wasn't allowed to have a pro sports team, and now they're just flying in there. They got a hockey team, they got an NFL team, there's talk about an NBA team, and I mean, it's suddenly the stigma's gone now, and everybody wants to go to Vegas.
Well, I think the hockey team did a really great service to getting other professional franchises there, because nobody thought it would work, and that city responded with incredible support for that team.
I have multiple friends who are season ticket holders.
Yeah.
A lot of Canadians retire in Vegas. There's a lot of hockey fans in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson, a couple of Super Bowls, national titles, Hall of Fame coach. I've said I've never learned more about football than listening to Jimmy Johnson. Fox NFL Sunday, noon Eastern on Fox again this year. He's joining us live from the Keys. So, you know, it's weird. The preseason's weird, Jimmy. Belichick was one of the few coaches who played a bunch of starters in the preseason. And so a lot of times, Mac Jones, by his second series, is going up against second, third, and fourth string guys, and Belichick's playing starters. So my takeaway is, the kid looks good to me, but I can't tell. Some of those guys he faced were backups on backups. What do you make of Mac Jones? What you saw, what you know you'll get, what you're unsure of so far?
Yeah, I like him. I think, you know, the key with Jones is, you know, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Even though he's a rookie, he went through preseason without a lot of mistakes. And, you know, Belichick played his, you know, starters, but for the simple reason he's got a lot of new players.
Yeah.
And so he needed to put his team together. Plus, he's old school. A lot of the old school coaches, you know, they played their starters in preseason. Some of the new coaches, you know, they said, hey, we'll find out about them in that first ball game. I don't agree with that, but that's how they're approaching it.
So you've, Bruce Arians and Tom, all right, they're Super Bowl champs. They come back. Go to your Dallas teams. When you knew you just won the Super Bowl, you're probably bringing back the best roster. You're bringing back Troy. You may have the best quarterback. What do you work on from that point? Is it just sandpapering, refining? I mean, did you, the year after your Super Bowls, did you feel like, oh, we got a hole here? Or is it just kind of refining it?
Yeah, and you always got a few new players, and so, you know, you got to work those new players in. But, you know, we played our starters in every ball game. Even into the last ball game, you know, we would give them a series or so. And, in fact, I wouldn't even let our guys take off their shoulder pads the second half. One time, you know, we had Emmitt Smith. He took off his pads, and a running back went down. So Emmitt runs into the ball game without his shoulder, you know, and he kind of straps on his arms and everything else. He skinned up his arm, and really it bothered him for 2 weeks after that. So, you know, our guys were fully dressed the entire ball game, the entire preseason, and that's the way I looked at it.
What do you worry about with Tampa this year? Anything you worry about?
Oh, you know, you always worry about complacency. You know, Colin, I think, you know, obviously coaching's important, you know, throughout the year, but I think coaching might be as important in this first ball game. You got to ask yourself, how physical the practices has the team gone through? Are those receivers and backs, are they going to be able to take a hit and still hold on to the football? You know, if they haven't taken a hit all preseason, you know, what's going to happen when they get hit in that first ball game? The other thing is, how well has the coach prepared the team for the unexpected? You know, different kind of formations, different kind of, you know, motion and looks, different kind of blitzes. And so the coaching in this first ball game, I think it's paramount. You know, I don't know that teams really play to form in the first ball game. They get closer to form as they go through the season.
Yeah. So Joy and I talked about this yesterday. Virtually every single team in the NFL without a rookie quarterback named their quarterback captain. So any quarterback that started last year, any games that's coming back as a starter is captain, except Tua in Miami. And, you know, 3 weeks ago we hear they're looking at Deshaun Watson. And it's not a big deal, maybe, but it feels like something, Jimmy, doesn't it?
Well, there's two things here, because I heard you talking about it yesterday. Yeah, you know, I know a lot of the players think maybe the coaches kind of rigged the voting a little bit to make sure certain guys are captain. I don't think that, you know, that shouldn't ever happen. I don't think it happened, because if the players found out for sure that happened, it'd be a mutiny on your hands. Yeah, and so it's really the players voting. But, you know, maybe Tua's not one of the fellas. You know, maybe he doesn't go out and have beers with the fellas. I don't necessarily think him not being a captain means he's not a good player. It just means that he's not one of the fellas and that he didn't get the votes. Now, there was a few of those quarterbacks that were named captain. If I'd have had a vote, I would not have voted him captain. You know, but, hey, you know, I'd say, what in the world are they voting him captain before? I'm going to bench him after the first week, you know, so who knows?
I guess that Aikman was your captain. He was one of the captains?
I went different captains every single week. And then at the end of the season, after we got through playing, I had them vote for captains for the year. I didn't want somebody to be captain, then he goes down with an injury after the first week. Or somebody to be a captain and he ends up being a third-teamer, you know, or I end up cutting him. You know, so I didn't make captains every week. I didn't have the same ones every week.
So I was talking about this earlier. In with Baker Mayfield, it doesn't have a contract yet. And generally speaking, you know, there's the guys that, like Mahomes or Josh Allen, I think Justin Herbert's this, you're going to know pretty quick. Big, strong, productive, mature, boom. Then there's the guys, you need to watch them for a year or two. You know, Trubisky, Paxton Lynch, you're like, hey, it's not working. We can't win big. And then you get into the difficult ones where I think there's a little bit of this with Dak, Garoppolo, Baker, where I know I can win with them, but if I pay them, you know, how much can they carry? I can't, right? And I kind of feel
you can't get rid of them if you pay them.
That's right. So that I kind of feel like Baker's going to get re-signed, but I do think he needs to be managed. Where do you land on Baker?
My advice would be the same thing I said about Dak about 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah, you know, quarterbacks are hard to find. You know, even if you've got one that's just pretty good, he doesn't have to be great. If he's pretty good and you got a really good football team, you can win with him.
Yeah.
Then you pay him. Because if you wait a year or two, it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, you know, it's such a different time. Last time I had you on, we talked about this, that you did ask Troy Aikman's opinion on stuff. You wanted Troy's opinion.
Yeah.
And I we've said this before. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, you can ask him things. I mean, I get it. Aaron's a very public quarterback. He goes on radio shows. He's outspoken. Right. And, Jimmy, generally in your career, most great coaches would like to keep most of that crap in-house. You don't want that stuff going out, the newspaper guys and radio guys. Would you be a little uncomfortable, Aaron, every week, kind of throwing us private stuff publicly? Would you ever at some point go, sit him down and go, Aaron, we don't need this stuff out there. Just keep this stuff in-house.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can have that conversation with him. I don't know that Aaron's going to listen to you, you know, but yeah, I think you need to have that conversation. And as far as, you know, his advice, I would talk to Aaron for sure, you know, before I made moves. I mean, you know, like I talked to Troy before we hired Norv Turner. In fact, Troy met Norv before I finalized his contract. And so I think the key here as the head coach, now, if Troy would not have liked Norv, I might have sat in his office for an hour or two and talked until Troy finally said, yeah, I like Norv. You know, and then you work it to where he makes the decision that you want him to make.
Okay.
And so, you know, but I would listen to Aaron as far as his input. He knows a lot more than what some rookie scout or maybe a coach that's been there a year or two knows. He knows more about that football team than they do.
You know, Jimmy, when you have a 17th game now in the NFL season, and it's only one game, but that's a lot of wear and tear. And I do look at some veteran teams, and I think to myself, like if you're the Rams, Andrew Whitworth, I'm thinking to myself, how many padded practices? How do I want to give him a double bye week, a bye after the bye? I mean, where do you land on a 17th week? What do you do with it?
Colin, you're soft. Yeah, you're soft. I remember when I went to Dallas, you know, nobody had the off-season. You know, Washington and Kansas City probably the only ones that had the off-season program. You know, we started working them, you know, lifting weights 4 days a week and having actual workouts 3 days a week, year around. Frank Luxa with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram said, these guys are going to get worn out, you know, by the end of the season. There's no way in the world that these guys can hold up. Well, you know, I said, hey, they're young guys. You know, they're going to be fine. You know, and so, you know, now the league has changed. Now everybody works year-round. But then with the collective bargaining agreement a couple of years ago, they only work out in pads about once a week. And, you know, they don't hit. And it would be difficult for me because we hit 3 days a week. And so, hey, I don't worry about that 17th game. They're young guys. They can handle it. They're in great shape. They're not going to get worn down.
By the way,
now I will say this: your older players, like Whitworth, I would set him out for a lot of the work. I would protect the older players, but those young guys can handle it.
So Kansas City's redoing their offensive line. I think they have four or five new guys, and Andy Reid knows what he's doing. But that is an interesting unit, Jimmy, because you could make an argument it has to be your most cohesive unit. How long, you know, Pittsburgh's doing the same thing. They're kind of transitioning with their offensive line. Green Bay a little bit too. How long did you feel comfortable, if you had new pieces protecting your quarterback and engineering your running game, how long does it take to mesh with a new O-line?
It probably depends on how smart the offensive linemen are and how good an offensive line coach you had. I had Tony Wise as one of the great offensive line coaches ever. And he had that bunch working as a unit, you know, pretty quick. And we had some changes. We brought in Eric Williams, and we promoted him to first team, even though he was a third-round pick. We put him on first team after the second preseason game and moved Kevin Gogan, who was our starting right tackle, we moved him to offensive guard after that second preseason game. So if you've got an outstanding offensive line coach and you got pretty smart individuals playing offensive line, it's not going to take long for them to work as a unit.
All right, finally, Dak Prescott. What do you expect this year? He's 340 days, hasn't taken a hit, a couple of surgeries. Where do you land this year? What do you think we get?
I think if medically he's okay, and that's a big if he's okay medically, I think he'll play well. He's got a great supporting cast. I think the key to their football team, though, is Elliott. If Ezekiel Elliott has a great year, he'll protect that defense. And then on top of protecting the defense, he'll allow Dak to get the big plays to those receivers rather than the dinking and the dunking. And so Ezekiel Elliott is a key as far as them having success as a team.
Yeah. All right, Jimmy, appreciate you stopping by. Football season starts tonight on Fox. It's great seeing you.
All right, Colin. And Joy, I look forward to having you as a neighbor.
Thanks, Jimmy. We'll go fishing.
Well, he's got two boats, so he can use one of his boats.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
I believe that we will win. Did you watch last night?
What was that? No, what?
U.S. men's national team.
Oh, the Honduras. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, the first half was discouraging. Ugh. Did you notice what was interesting was their subs did all the scoring.
Yes.
It's like they had the wrong starting group out there.
Yeah, it was a wild night. It was fun to watch on Twitter because, listen, for as much as we all argue with each other all day about everything that we can't agree on anything, when it comes to our football teams, men's and women's, we are all in and we are stressed out. And that was stressful last night.
But they didn't play Weston McKinney. They had two of their starters weren't there. They had, you know, they're a very interesting team is that I just don't feel we're dynamic in the midfield. I don't think we create much. And in the first half, it was ugly.
It was bleak. Pressure's on after missing the World Cup in 2018. And after two consecutive draws to open the qualifying rounds, the U.S. finally got a win last night against Honduras. They did start off slow and trailed 1-0, leading to three substitutions at the half, which you mentioned. But the star of the match, 18-year-old Ricardo Pepe, who scored a goal and had two assists in his debut. And they roared back, 4-1 win.
Yeah.
Pepe committed to play for the U.S. instead of Mexico just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's significant.
It is. And also in the 62nd minute, Christian Pulisic was substituted off. He hurt his ankle. It looked serious. He needed treatment after a challenge and then fell to the ground after trying to sprint on a dribble. So going to have to monitor that, obviously. Anthony Robinson, Ricardo Pepe, Brendan Aaronson, and Sebastian Legit all scored. So we have 5 points in 3 matches of the 14 world qualifying matches. So they'll play the next qualifying cycle on October 7th. That starts. They'll play Jamaica, Panama, and Costa Rica. So they are third in the standings behind Mexico and Canada. The top three teams qualify for the World Cup. Fourth position qualified off of intercontinental playoff. So in a good situation now, not great, good situation.
Yeah.
Pressure's still on, but that was a nice confidence boosting win. And, they overcame. I like to see, if you start slow, it's a little struggle, it's a little clunky, overcome. That's what I like to see. To me, all that's right. Growth. So I was encouraged by last night. Am I being too optimistic?
No, I mean, I just think I worry about Weston McKinney, where he's one of our top three young players. And I just, it's a head shaking. That the match against Canada was a wasted opportunity.
Yes. Yes, that was. But I like the recovery, boys. Let's keep it going. So Baker Mayfield is eligible for a contract extension with the Browns. Team has not made any substantial contract talks with him yet. That doesn't seem to be an issue for Baker, though. It's reportedly been the plan all along, and both sides are cool with entering the season without a deal in place. They picked up his fifth-year option for 2022.
Well, he was a number one pick, so he did make decent money.
Yes, and he's
done a lot of commercial.
I don't like to consider the commercial money and all that, although I mean, Cleveland's not a big market, right? So, when you talk about Dallas, when people were talking about this with Dallas, right. There is some value to being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys,
right?
Which you could definitely argue if you are the Jones family. Like, hey,
It's funny.
There's only one Dallas Cowboys in the world.
It's always funny. We always call certain cities small markets. So Cleveland has the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. a baseball team, an NBA team, an NFL team. They're not that small.
No, they're not that small.
They have a major
market.
Airport.
They are smaller market than Dallas.
Right. But, it's funny. Everybody now, in baseball, it's Minneapolis, Minnesota's a small market team. Minnesota's got more Fortune 500 companies than all but about five cities in the country. Seattle.
Yeah, they say that about Pittsburgh.
All the time.
Pittsburgh has major corporations,
everywhere.
A ton of universities.
They got Carnegie Mellon. They got major universities.
Yeah, Pitt.
Research centers.
Robert Morris.
Pittsburgh's baseball's got a problem, and it's called no salary cap. So when Pittsburgh, Minneapolis, and Seattle are called small markets in Denver, those are not small markets. Those are international destinations. Those are corporate hubs. Cleveland's not that small.
No, it's not. But when you're talking about marketing, generally you think of
Dallas is a
LA, New York, yeah. Dallas, Miami. But so that's I don't really like to consider that as a part of what Baker is going to make. That's not necessarily what he does for a living is does commercials, although he does have a lot of them. I don't think this is a bad situation for Baker to be in. You were talking about it earlier. There's sort of tiers. There's guys are automatically going to get paid.
He's going to get a contract.
Josh Allen, Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Yes, but the argument is, should he be paid, and should he make this or should he make that? The market dictates what you make. If it's set at a certain level for a certain type of player, you're probably going to make around that. And sometimes you'll make more than that, even if you're not necessarily as good of a player as that player that was paid, because the next guy gets more and so on and so forth. Generally, that's how it works, even in the salary cap. It's going to go up for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The market's been set. But for Baker, the arguments that he's not Patrick Mahomes. Well, yeah, nobody's Patrick Mahomes except for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Nobody's Tom Brady except for Tom Brady. There's Aaron Rodgers. There's not that many guys. So what are your options? Baker Mayfield is winning games. He has completely bought in and embraced that city,
the
culture.
They love him. They love him.
They love him. There's extreme value in that if you're an organization. He doesn't have to be. Do you think, the question is, DJ Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks do this. Is he a confetti guy? Could you win a Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield if you had the right pieces around him? I believe that you could. And if you can do that.
I'm probably closer to no, but Matt Ryan came within a catch from Julian Edelman, and I never saw Matt Ryan as a confetti guy.
But you wouldn't have a problem. I mean, maybe what Matt Ryan's contract is now.
I mean, Joe Flacco. and Nick Foles were confetti guys. So, yes, Baker would be a confetti guy.
So, if you feel like you can win a Super Bowl,
yes,
all things considered, with Baker Mayfield.
Nick Foles changed everything. I mean, seriously.
But, I mean, Joe Flacco is a good argument for that, too.
Yeah, they changed.
Because Nick Foles was a backup. Joe Flacco was legitimately their starter.
And this wasn't 20 years ago. The game was a passing league when Flacco won it and when Nick Foles won it. So, yes, I mean, there's... Kirk Cousins, I don't see as a confetti guy. He's the line.
Yeah, that's fair.
No, I mean, he's the line.
That's fair, yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's the last quarterback. Like, Derek Carr, to me, could be a confetti guy. Kirk is the most talented guy in the league.
That you don't think could win a Super Bowl.
So I think Baker falls into that. And yeah. Sam Darnold, after 6 weeks, he'll be a confetti guy, too.
So if they fall into that category, then I think you have to pay them. Now, what you pay them and how you space it out and all of that, you work that out yourselves.
That's a really good way to look at it. Confetti guys. Yeah, so that's why I think it's outrageous that Kirk Cousins is a $42 million cap hit next
outrageous.
Year.
It doesn't make any sense. It's outrageous. But listen, kudos to Kirk. That man knows how to make some money.
That is
he is very good at that.
Listen, Jimmy Garoppolo came within one pass of being a confetti guy.
Yeah.
So he outplayed Mahomes for three quarters. He's clearly good
Garoppolo
enough.
Garoppolo is a confetti guy.
He's a confetti guy.
Yes. Thank you, DJ and Bucky.
Stole a segment.
Definitely give them credit for that. So the NFL is back tonight. The regular season begins. No more speculation. It's all on the field now, Cowboys and Bucks. And Tom Brady says that even in his 257,000th season, his 22nd season, he's getting a little anxious. He still gets anxious after that first kickoff.
Yeah, I think it's butterflies. It's kind of being anxious because, you know, you kind of put a lot into it. And emotionally, you're at a super high point. You're really focused. We've had some really good days of practice. It definitely feels like a regular season week. You know, preseason's one thing. It definitely has a preseason feel. You know, when the games don't count on the scoreboard, ultimately, you know, you're only going to play a certain amount of plays. But when you know everything counts, everything's, in the books on this one, you know, you want to be at your best.
Fox bet Bucks minus -9 tonight.
Oh, it's moved to 9?
9.
I'm out. I can't do it. I would take Dallas at that point. That thing has moved from...
You have to, right?
I mean, it's moved from 7.5 to 8, 8.5 to 9. That's a blowout. That puppy, that is a
blow. I mean, that is a huge
Skip Bayless, it may be on his second Heineken by the second. I mean, he's just going to have to, you're going to be moved to drink, I think.
Diet Mountain Dew. Yeah, that's
Mountain
a huge
Dew,
line.
That's what he drinks.
Diet
yeah.
Mountain Dew, Diet yeah. Mountain Dew. Which is weirdly the only thing I'm allergic to.
You're allergic to
Diet? I'm allergic to Diet Mountain Dew.
What do you mean allergic?
Like I drink it and I've only drank it once because I had an allergic reaction, but I break out in like hives.
Wow.
I know. And I don't know anyone else that drinks Diet Mountain Dew. I know lots of people drink regular Mountain Dew, but he like loves Diet Mountain Dew.
You learn something new every day
on the
show.
That's weird, right?
Kind of. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn in your credit card into your first year automatically. Discover.com/yes. No limit. Automatically. By the way, congrats to Joy Taylor, my partner, landing her own show on Fox Sports Radio. Tomorrow she debuts at 2 to 4 Eastern. Saturday, excuse me. It's Thursday.
It does feel like Friday.
It does. Saturday. And your brother is your first big guest, Jason.
Yes, yes. I have some other big guests, too. But, yeah, I mean,
well,
gotta have a big bro on.
You're the most verbal person I have ever worked with, and I'm so lucky to have you. And I think
Thank you. It'll
be a great show. It'll be fun. And you'll have to occasionally take calls, so good luck with that.
Do I? I don't take calls.
Yeah, I quit doing that, too.
I will. You know what? You know what I found is more effective than calls, because we've been out of the call business for a long time.
Yeah,
I like a nice tweet. You know, I can sort through. You know,
good call. That's
so
a good call.
Give a little input. Yeah. Maybe change the direction of the conversation a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, so if you don't tweet nonsense, you can get on the show.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Saturday. All right, here we go. Three-word game. NFC yesterday, AFC today, succinctly. When given only three words, you can describe anything. Here we go in the AFC. Bills. Buff-a-loaded. 21 of 22 starters back. Only Tampa has more. And if you take out the games against the Chiefs, this young and improving roster was 15-2 against everybody else. Buff-a-loaded. Patriots. Not standing pat. Spent $288 million in free agency. That's a huge number. Isn't that crazy? They spent $288 million.
Who are they?
I mean, seriously, a new tackle, Trent Brown, Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry tight ends, Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne. Then they drafted a quarterback. They're all in. A lot of new faces, most on offense. Dolphins. Will Tua triumph? They had the fewest big play touchdowns in the NFL last year. That's a concern. They only had five touchdowns or 20-plus yards. That's the concern with Tua. You got to occasionally pop for a big play. Now, they did get Will Fuller, and they drafted Jaylen Waddle. That will help. Tua was 6-3 as a starter. Jets, just too dysfunctional. Lost nine games by double digits. In the last 5 years, they've had no skill players make the Pro Bowl. I do like Joe Douglas, the GM. I like his last two drafts. But they had the worst point differential of any team in the league last year, minus 214. It is still in the early stages of a rebuild. Ravens. Baltimore breakthrough? Listen, only team to rank top five last year in third down offense and third down defense. They're very good situationally. They are not as dynamic passing the ball as many other teams. But they return 10 of 11 defensive starters. I worry about their preseason running back injuries. That worries me. Steelers. Been a while. Ben Roethlisberger, 39, entering his 18th season. They say he's in the best shape of his life, but a new offensive coordinator, O-line being rebuilt, and he averaged a career low, 6.3 passing yards per attempt. What does that tell you? Tells you he doesn't have a ton of time to throw when he does throw. That's what it tells you. Bengals. Not average Joe. Burrow got sacked 32 times in 10 games, but he passed for 300 or more yards in half his starts. Why is that noteworthy? Because they had a bad O-line. So to be able to be that productive with that poor of an offensive line is a significant number. The kid can play. Browns, ready to bake. Baker Mayfield, though, 30th in completion percentage, 24th in passing yards a game. I'm not worried about the passing yards because Odell Beckham returns. That number will tick up. He's got to be more accurate. And I think Stefanski did a great job to manage Baker out of his ad-libbing. He's not as athletic as he thinks. He starts ad-libbing, there's trouble. But they got a bunch of new defensive starters, but I like what I see. Chargers, Herbert fully loaded. He had the highest passer rating. This is almost unheard of any quarterback in the league last year, 99.4, as a rookie. And he was under constant duress, and they have four new offensive line starters. But simply put, Justin Herbert was the best rookie quarterback statistically in league history. That's amazing. Behind a bad O-line. Chiefs. Chief concern, protection. Four new starters, O-line. Worry a little about their red zone defense, but it all comes down. Can they cinch early on that front? Raiders, just win, maybe. Gruden's 19-29 in three seasons. The disturbing trend is they're pretty good in September and October, fall off a cliff in November. Some of that could be lack of depth on the roster. It is not a Derek Carr issue. He has been the life preserver on this boat. Broncos, mile high mystery. Most turnovers in the league. Teddy Bridgewater, a bridge quarterback's now starting. We're just not quite sure what we're going to get. Texans, Texas-sized mess. Fourth toughest schedule, new head coach who's never even been a coordinator, lowest projected win total by Fox Bet. Looks like they're kind of tanking. Two top defensive players traded before the season. Titans, Tennessee in better days, returned 12 of 22 starters, tied for the fewest in the league. I am down on them. New coordinators, both sides of the ball. That would worry me. Colts, once they're healthy, they were number 9 in scoring with Phillip Rivers. They were pretty good last year. Only question, Wentz's health. I'd like to see one of their young receivers beyond Pittman develop too. Finally, Jags, Lawrence's urban legend. Jacksonville ended the year in a 15-game losing streak. They do have some spectacularly talented receivers. Backs receivers, really interesting. Now they give the keys to the Jags kingdom to Urban and Trevor Lawrence. By the way, endless hot water, choose Navien 15-year warranty. TanklessMadeSimple.com, TanklessMadeSimple.com. Joy Taylor, Saturday, debuts new show, Fox Sports Radio, 2 to 4 Eastern. Her brother's on it, among other people. But it is only Thursday.
It's only Thursday.
It's only, football's throwing me for a loop here. It's the herd.